So today is March 28th, 2022 at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. This is Eleanor Schultz interviewing Bill Kimek. And we're both in our Zoom rooms today. And we're going to talk about Bill's experiences at Plattsburgh. So do you consent to this interview?
Yes.
So my first question is, so you graduated from Plattsburgh in 1999?
Yes.
So you started in 1995?
I started there in 1997. I transferred in after getting my associate's degree.
Nice. Yeah. So, remember you, your little description of the events was a Chuck D, a public enemy?
Yes.
And when was that? Was that, what year was it?
That's a good question. I'm looking down because I'm starting a new job next week, and I had to go through and look at the dates I attended university, and I actually found the poster and he signed it, and it says the date, but it doesn't say the year. So I'm guessing it was either, probably 98 or 99 when that happened in February.
I think the student newspaper is online, so I could check that.
Okay, yeah.
That'd be so cool if I could include that poster.
Yeah, I can try and take a picture or scan it or get it to you somehow if that works.
Yeah, thanks.
I was happy I found it. I forgot he signed it, and he signed it to RA Bill, because I was an RA when I was at Plattsburgh. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah, you want to talk about the event? It sounded pretty interesting.
Yeah, sure. So I didn't attend a lot of the presidential speaker series. I mean, my entire time at Plattsburgh, maybe half a dozen or so. And it was normally, a very academic topic, professor or doctor from somewhere or another coming to speak for, an hour or so. And then all of a sudden I saw Chuck D, and I was like, this is something really different, something I'm interested in, and I got to go see this. And showed up with a couple of friends to go see it, and he was speaking. It was just really riveting and just really, plain language, speaking to the audience, playing off them and everything. It was just great, great experience. And he kind of just was answering questions, things like that, just kept going. I think the normal time for the speaker series was about an hour or so. And, he went right past the first hour, right past the second hour, and they started flashing the lights in the room to let him know to get off the stage for quite some time. And after a while, he finally stopped speaking. And basically, people were filtering out, it was the first hour passed, second hour passed, and there was only a handful of us left in the crowd by the end. And he essentially said, I've got to go speak to the press, the paper, and things like that for maybe, 15, 20 minutes or so. If, those of you that are left in the audience, want to chat after this, happy, I'll meet you right over here in this other room. I can't remember the name of the room, but, and so he went off and did his press thing. And there were maybe about half dozen of us or so that just hung around and were chatting like, this is so cool, we're going to meet him. And when he was done, he came in and he just talked like a normal person, talked about, his home on Long Island, about traveling, being on tour and things like that. Talked about, Flava Flav and what he was like in real life. He's not playing a character. He asked about each of us. And, we talked about our hometowns. I talked about being an RA and just what it was like in university and, everything down to, he started out in his talk talking a lot about, digital music and things like that. At that point in time, everybody was still buying CDs and MP3s were just coming out. And he was talking about the infringement on artists' rights and things like that, and kind of where he thought the future was headed and everything else. And we continued that discussion in the small group. So it was a really cool experience.
Yeah, that was interesting because other people's, experiences were like rock music that I had never heard of.
Yeah.
I've heard of Public Enemy, so.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting about the digital music rights, because that's actually like been brought up in my other interviews.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But people think that that's why there's less concerts in Plattsburgh, like less concerts in general on college campuses. Because, you have to go through so many hoops to get music.
Interesting. Hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. So I've been asking, I guess you're in... South Carolina or North Carolina?
I'm in North Carolina, yeah.
I think the other two people I interviewed are more close to like Plattsburgh, like physically. So I've been asking, like, when do they think that the Plattsburgh music scene kind of died down? Do you know?
Yeah. Or? I'm not sure. I was, like I said, I was only there from 97 to a little after 99. I've only been back twice just to kind of see what's still there when I was in the area. So couldn't really say.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
How was Flavor Flav? So he is like...
Yeah, apparently it's not an act. And this was before he was, I think he was on some reality shows, you know, years back. But this was even before all that, before everybody really saw him like that. But he was like, nope, he's a character. He doesn't act. That's just who he is. He's just off the wall, apparently all the time. So, yeah, interesting.
Like celebrity wife swap or something?
Something like that, yeah, yeah. But yeah, he's just an off the wall character.
Was there any other Plattsburgh events that you remember?
Not really, not that I remember. And I apologize. I know you booked an hour for this, and I was thinking, like, after that story, I probably won't have too much. But you know, I probably went to one or two concerts, but nothing memorable enough to really say. But I know there's a lot of stuff coming through. I mean, there was a lot of good music in that area in general. I remember. There was one band at the time called Free Beer and Chicken that used to play, and I thought it was the coolest name, and they were actually pretty good. But you know, they put that on the posters and people would show up, and then it would just be this band. You know, they really thought it was Free Beer and Chicken to go see the band. But anyway, they were good. There was the Catherine Street Jug Band as well, was big when I was in Plattsburgh. They were pretty fun. And I know a lot of people at that time frame, you know, that I knew there actually knew Phish, and they would, you know, go across the lake, you know, over to Burlington and whatnot, and hang out with them and see those concerts and stuff. I don't know if they ever came to the Plattsburgh area, but there was a lot of that influence.
I think Phish came, I think, early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone told me last interview, they said that Peter Frampton recorded part of one of his albums at Plattsburgh.
No way. I didn't know that.
And also that apparently Run Direction also recorded a music video in Plattsburgh.
No way. That's crazy. I had no idea. I knew there were some famous people that went to Plattsburgh, but you know, I didn't know about it. The other stuff, I think kind of blanking on his name. He was in Shawshank Redemption, he was the main character. Tim Robbins. I know he went to Plattsburgh for a bit, and I think there were like maybe two or three others that were famous people that went there at least for a time, but he was one of them. But
I didn't even know about Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
Right. Are you from New York, or just decided to go to Plattsburgh?
Yeah, I'm originally from upstate New York, from Saratoga Springs, which is about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes south of Plattsburgh. And I originally started out and went to Adirondack Community College just because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and got through that and decided on Plattsburgh because they had a good business program. And they also had a really good psychology program, and I decided to pursue both. So I actually got a degree in both business management and psychology from Plattsburgh.
Nice.
Yeah. But it was a fantastic school. I mean, I went on to get my MBA after that. Plattsburgh has an agreement with a couple of universities, but one of which was Clarkson University on the other side of the state in Potsdam, to where basically if you have an undergraduate degree in business, they basically waive a lot of the requirements and you could do it in an expedited timeframe. But, you know, I look back on the different universities I went to. I mean, I you know, took courses at UNC, or I'm sorry, University of New Hampshire, and a couple other places just to get stuff done during summers and just, you know, other things like that. And I always look back fondly on my time at Plattsburgh as probably the best experience, college experience I had, and definitely learned the most there.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, the SUNY kind of just system too. I don't really think a lot of other states have that.
I mean, there are some like that, like in North Carolina, for instance. They do have a system, but it's not like a standard naming convention. It's not SUNY Plattsburgh, you know, SUNY Oneonta, things like that. It's like, you know, NC State University or UNC Chapel Hill, or, you know, and things like that. There's lots of different schools within the system.
Well, yeah. California, something like that.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like Washington State has that.
I don't think so. I guess they have Running Start, where in the last 2 years of high school, you can take college classes to get your AA.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, the company I used to work for was out there in Bellevue. I went out quite a bit. I love the Pacific Northwest. But, yeah,
pretty close to Bellevue.
Yeah. Very cool.
Did you ever go to UW to see it at all, or on campus?
I've driven by it a number of times, but I've never actually gone on the campus there. Mm. Yeah.
Just having the cherry blossoms, like every year they go like nice. Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, that's got to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It was nice. I went with it yesterday, but I don't know if cherry blossoms have a smell. I think all I was smelling, because it's super crowded, like people's perfume and cologne, so.
Yeah.
Pretty, but a little crowded.
Yeah. These two, when I lived in Brooklyn for, 10 plus years, and they have the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens, and they have the cherry blossom festival there too once a year. And it's just fields of it. It's just beautiful. So I imagine it's something similar out there.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh man, I miss the chucker cherries. I used to get those every time I went out. They're like the cherries covered with chocolate and things like that at the down at the Pike's Place Market is where I used to stop and get them. But they were so good.
Yeah, Pike's Place is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, we definitely don't have to do an hour. I've been mostly doing like 25 minutes, to be honest, there are people.
Okay. But yeah. Doesn't make me feel so bad for not having too much.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago when you think about it. But yeah. Any other questions I can answer about that or anything about Plattsburgh?
Well, I like how everyone's been mentioning how Plattsburgh has kind of like got people interested in live music. So have you like gone into any more like concerts after Plattsburgh? Or?
I go to concerts whenever I can. Trying to think of, I wouldn't say necessarily Plattsburgh started it. I mean, I was definitely a big music fan going into going into Plattsburgh. I went to a couple of Grateful Dead shows prior to Jerry passing away in 95. So, I mean, I was big into that, did a lot of Lollapaloozas and those kind of shows, but liked a lot of the smaller shows as well. And I remember going to a couple, another band that I saw just in a bar in Plattsburgh that was really good was called 11 Foot 7, and they were just really good. And I can't find them anymore. I think they broke up, but I luckily bought a CD when I was there. And still have that to listen to. But there's always a lot of music around Plattsburgh. Never went to many of the big concerts. And I'm like, in thinking back now, I know I saw a couple of concerts, but it's kind of a little bit of a blur if it's between Clarkson or Plattsburgh. I know the Mighty Mighty Bosstones were one of them, but I think that might've been Clarkson. Jim Brewer, who is not necessarily music, but like a comedian, came and performed. But I want to say that was also at Clarkson. Definitely continue, to see music, live music whenever I can. There's lots of great venues around here in North Carolina where, bands come through. And certainly in my time in New York City, like, every day of the week, there's somebody in some, small venue that you can actually, feels very intimate. It's like you almost meet, the performers. Actually, in one of the cases I did, there's a band that, called the Blue Dogs. That's actually based in South Carolina in Charleston. And I just happened to, I was listening to them for a while because I had a buddy that went to school down in Clemson. And I actually listened to them a lot when I was getting my master's. And then when I moved to New York City, I saw they were playing, of all places, in CBGBs, which I'd always wanted to go to. I think of like a music place, and they're now shut down. But so I went and saw them and just talked to their manager, met the band, and I became the New York City rep for probably about 10 years. So anytime they came to town, I put up posters, did stuff like that, got people to go to the shows. And then I ran the merchandise table until the band played. And then somebody came to relieve me, and I got to go see the band for free. And, sometimes hung out with them, had dinner before the show and hung out with them afterwards, stuff like that. So definitely enjoy music. But unfortunately not related to Plattsburgh, but I mean, yeah.
Maybe connected to it.
Yeah.
Well, you did that for 10 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a side thing. Whenever they came to town, they just would email me, let me know the dates. And I would, at that time, I think most of the promotion stuff I did was on on Craigslist, just put posts out there telling people, you know, it's coming. I'd tell my friends and, you know, they'd show up and stuff and, you know, put posters up around public places, got people to get there. It was good. I got to see a lot of different really good music venues in Manhattan and stuff like that. So it was great. And a lot of bands, I mean, they opened for a lot of bands because they weren't really big, but, you know, got to see the other bands as well until they made it. I think the biggest venue they played was the Bowery Ballroom, which was actually really, really big and great to see, you know, a lot of people that knew their music, you know, because normally it was a smaller venue and, you know, tight group, but like, you know, bigger venue, a lot of people that knew the music and, you know, seeing the other folks that toured with them and everything. And it was just always a great experience.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, definitely.
I've never been to New York, but I think my grandpa grew up on Staten Island.
Yeah.
My only connection.
Yeah. It's an interesting place. You know, I don't want to knock it. I want to say everybody needs to visit, and there's a lot of great stuff to see, but I wouldn't recommend living there. It really, it's a lot going all the time, and it really eats away at you. There's a lot of negativity in New York, if that makes sense. And I spent 14 years there, and I was ready to go after the first year, but just got stuck. But took advantage of it as much as I could. Like I said, seeing the music and stuff like that. And for the job I had when I lived there, I was traveling a lot of the time too during the week. So I was mostly home on the weekends, pay some bills, do some laundry, and, you know, try and see friends if I could, and then get back on the road again.
Is it one of those super small apartments that they would say that New York has?
Yeah. Yeah, there's apartments that would be considered one bedroom anywhere else. And, you know, people put up temporary walls. There were companies that did it. And you make that into a four bedroom and everybody splits it. And your bedroom is like the size of, like, if I think back, like one of my bedrooms, it's probably about the size of my closet now. And when I went to look for apartments, you know, like room sharing type things, you would not believe what you found. I remember one time I went into this apartment and it was, they were calling it a four bedroom. And it went in, there was, like, you know, one room that basically had a bunch of different doors coming off it. And then, you know, there was a kitchen, and they were like, the one you're looking at is over here. And there was like a ladder they had to climb up. And it was a room that was about probably 2.5 feet tall. And it was over the bathroom in the kitchen. So at one point they were like, how can we get another person in here to help pay the rent? And they basically built the ceiling a little bit lower in the kitchen and the bathroom. And it was like, it was enough room to, like, lay down and maybe hang up some clothes, but not much else. But, you know, when you're in New York, you don't spend a whole lot of time in your apartment. Nobody really cooks. You know, you go out to eat and you do stuff. You go to work. You just basically come home to sleep. But I did not take that room because I needed more than that. But that was not an uncommon thing to see, really small rooms, or, you know, rooms that were closets before, no windows, things like that. I did, not a closet, but I did that once, like an interior room. It was really great for sleeping because it was dark all the time, but, like, it was weird. No fresh air. You never knew what time of day it was.
Yeah. Well, I guess homebody, don't move to New York.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just in Indiana, and last week my friend's bathroom, while I was there, it flooded because upstairs neighbor. Yeah, so we, like, were looking at apartments, and they weren't that great, but they definitely were bigger than a closet.
Yeah. New York City is unlike anywhere else, that's for sure. Maybe San Francisco and London, but everything else is completely different.
So, you don't work at a college then, right? You work at, like, a private?
Yeah. Yeah, I've thought about teaching a bit. A friend of mine works at a community college down here, and she was asking if I wanted to teach project management, kind of part-time in the evenings and stuff, but I haven't. I've always thought about it, but I haven't done it yet. Actually, a couple of my teachers at Plattsburgh, specifically on the psychology side, kind of pulled me aside a couple of times and asked if I'd ever thought about teaching. I look back and smile at that, because, I mean, it's always been something I've wanted to do. I've just not done it.
And good teachers at Plattsburgh?
Yeah, a lot of really good teachers, you know, great relationships with them too. I mean, even. You know, I think back to, you know, both sides, business and psychology, like, I knew the department chairs, you know, by name, and they knew me walking down the halls, things like that. I mean, Dr. Nancy Church on the business side. I think she's retired a couple of years ago, but she was fantastic. She's one of the best teachers I ever had. I actually had a course with her, but like, you know, throughout my years at Plattsburgh, you know, she, you know, would help advise me on courses and, you know, thinking about future careers and everything in between. She was fantastic. And on the other side, Dr. William Gattert was the chair of the psychology department. I'm not sure if he's still there, but, you know, he was awesome on that side from everything from, you know, and I did take a course with him as well. He was a great teacher. But, you know, also just was there to listen if you had questions, concerns, and even, you know, help me work out some independent studies and things like that to, you know, write some research proposals and things like that I was just interested in and, you know, to get course credit for it. So, yeah, nothing but good things to say about the teachers at Plattsburgh.
I mean, do you recognize the name Tim Hartnett?
Or? It sounds familiar, but I'm not sure why.
He was like the creator of the Plattsburgh Rocks website. He's like a librarian.
Gotcha.
And he passed away like last year, I think, or the year before. So.
Okay.
Just ask.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Unfortunately, I didn't know him. But I do. Every now and then, you get emails and hear about someone passing because it's, you know, a lot of time has passed since I went. I think one of the big ones was Cheryl Hogle. I'm not sure if that name rings a bell, but she was part of. I want to say the either student affairs or the dean's office. William Laundrie is another person that like I can never thank him enough for everything he did. He was the dean of students, and just because I was an RA, I worked with him a number of times, and I actually got him to come out on. You know, I taught a course for transfer students because I was a transfer student, so I did that for a semester, and you know, I gave people a tour of things. I told them everything the school had to offer, and actually got one of the vans from the school. And, you know, picked up Bill Laundrie on the side of the road, and he kind of gave a written, you know, a verbal tour of the community with all of his, my God, all the knowledge he had in his head, you know, just driving around and everything. And he was one that was always there for me as well. And just really, really smart, down to earth guy. Like, yeah, it's probably one of my favorite parts of Plattsburgh.
It's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how was being a RA like?
It was both the most challenging and most rewarding job I've ever had. Wow. It really felt like, you know, I had like 20 kids. You know, it was, you know, you were never off like all 24 hours a day. You were just on if anybody needed anything, if anything happened. You know, I remember, you know, getting calls in the middle of the night, you know, about things, whether you're on call or not, you know, if you're responsible for the building or just your floor. One time I even got I want to say it was like 3 a.m. and just got a call, and it was the, it was Border Patrol, the U.S. Border Patrol. And a couple of my residents went to Canada for, you know, an evening, because we were about 15 minutes away from the Canadian border. And, they called, and they basically, you know, named off the people that were there. And they basically said they said you were their RA and, you know, you could vouch for them. You know, they have this person's car, it's registered to, you know, whatever that person's name was, and he's not with them. Do you know if he gave them permission? And I had to like vouch for them and say, yeah, they're all close friends. You know, he lets them borrow the car from time to time. Like, you can let them back into the States, and, you know, they are my residents. They are going to, you know, to Plattsburgh State University, and kind of had to vouch for them. And they did let them back into the country. Yeah, it was interesting. A lot of the things that happened over my time as an RA, but, yeah, it really, really did feel like I had, 20 kids.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. But when you think about it, it's tough for people, you know, coming in, especially as freshmen. You know, you're still trying to figure out what you want to do. It's probably your first time away from home for any extended period of time. You've got all this new freedom and all this new responsibility that you've got to manage, and you're figuring out who you are, and that's tough for a lot of people. And, you know, some people end up, you know, saying it's not for them, and they go back home because they miss their friends, their family, and things like that. And others, you know, stick it out, and some others just really thrive in it. But, you know, everybody needs somebody to talk to here and there. And that's, you know, what I did a lot of the time, especially going to school for psychology. I mean, I enjoyed that kind of thing, helping people and whatever. So, was always there to help out, you know, with assignments, with just, you know, an ear to listen to, and, you know, trying to coordinate events from time to time, you know, as RAs were required to do, but you know, to blow off steam from time to time, knowing that, you know, all the pressure they're going through again, you know, with first time being away and all the responsibilities and so forth. So, you know, they've organized a lot of programs, like, you know, took them hiking in the Adirondacks a couple of times. One of my favorites that I still think about to this day is I also coordinated another one for the majority of the students on my floor. And we drove down to Lake Placid and we joined the Polar Bear Club. So they literally had to break the ice near this dock, and we jumped in, stayed in for a minute or so and got out. I remember I still have the sweatshirt I bought. That's just this Coney Island Polar Bear Club, or not Coney Island. I joined Coney Island Polar Bear Club later, but Lake Placid Polar Bear Club. And it was interesting. Yeah, a lot of good memories.
Hmm. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, different, kind of like you, like transfers. So I never really had that RA experience.
Okay. Are you living off campus, I'm guessing?
For my undergrad, I did a year for a semester abroad, and then I transferred to Wazoo, Washington State University, mm-hmm. and then I went to University of Washington.
Okay. Where'd you go abroad?
Paris.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not so nice.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, I know people say that Parisians are not that nice, but people I would talk to were nice most of the time. Okay. But I don't know.
I kind of had that experience that you're talking about where, so as part of my MBA, I went I'm going to say Grenoble because I won't pronounce it right if I try and say it. Anyway, there was a school there, and we the University of Ottawa and University of Paderborn in Germany, you know, basically three different schools came together, and, you know, they actually swapped teachers. So there was a teacher, a professor from each university came and taught basically the tail end of our MBA for 2 weeks in Grenoble. So it was, that was really interesting. And traveled around, you know, saw the Alps, drank water straight from a glacier, and like all of this really, really cool stuff that was in Chamonix. And then, you know, ended my trip. It was the first time I'd been to Europe, so I traveled a little bit before and a little bit on the end of it. And the cheapest place to fly out was Paris. And I was like, well, everybody's got to see Paris once too, you know, and I went around, saw the sights, and my God, from talking and conversing and just interacting with people outside of Paris, to going to Paris, night and day. Like, I actually really liked the, you know, the small towns and the, you know, smaller cities, the people, and, you know, like most other places. I mean, I've been to 30 plus countries, and in 2010, I did literally two laps of the planet. Like, I literally circled the planet twice. So I've been everywhere. And usually I try and make an effort to, you know, speak the language, you know, what little broken language I can. And, you know, people take it as a sign. They're like, I don't want to say they're impressed, but they're happy you're trying. You know, if you do that in Paris, it's like the exact opposite. They just correct your pronunciation and they speak to you in English. They don't want you to do it. And it's just, they're just kind of, in my opinion, a little bit nasty, but not elsewhere in France. But I know it's not just the French people, but the food is amazing, just like in Italy.
Probably most countries, like the capital, people are just tired of tourists.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Is there any other more stories you want to share? Or?
From Plattsburgh? I'm trying to think. I mean, one of the other things that I keep kind of coming back to in my head is the first time I realized it could get too cold to snow. I didn't know that was a thing. And my God, it got cold in Plattsburgh. And I was there, I want to say it was either the first or the second year I was in Plattsburgh. And, you know, I was looking for something else to do, kind of independent study or something like that to get credit, but also get some experience. And I got hooked up with the New York State Attorney General's office. So I actually worked in the Plattsburgh office. And that was, I want to say, the Attorney General's name was Dennis Vacco at the time. But yeah, got set up there and just worked in that office. And it was just after the big ice storm. And I don't remember exactly what year it was, but there was a really big ice storm came through, knocked out power to, you know, what they call the North Country for weeks. And I remember I was there for another one, and it literally covered the ground. There was like an inch of ice over everything. Like, cars weren't driving, nothing. And there was a lot of there was a lot of price gouging at that point in time that we were enforcing. So people were selling generators for like thousands of dollars when they were only like a $200 generator and stuff like that. So we would take like, you know, complaints about those kinds of things and contact the merchant, contact the consumer and try and come to resolution, because they were breaking the law in doing that. But that was another, you know, good experience I had there, but also, you know, one that almost seems like a perfect storm. Like, they don't have ice storms that frequently. And if you're going to, you know, it was the perfect time to work at the Attorney General's office to get an experience of the type of things that they help people with and enforce. So that was kind of another cool one.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, nothing to do with music or anything like that, unfortunately, but yeah.
Yeah. My project sponsors are the librarians at Pottsburg, and they've been telling me about how cold it gets there. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, they get a lot of snow, but like, I didn't even know that was the thing. Like, it could get too cold to snow. I mean, I lived in upstate New York, but you know, only an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes south, but there was a big, big difference in temperature. So. But no, it was great being up there too. Like one of the best things I liked to do, like, especially when I think about, you know, the end of the semester, you got finals, you have, you know, final exams, things like that. And it gets stressful. And Plattsburg was great because I would either, you know, again, we're about 15 minutes away from the border of Canada, and about, you know, from door to door, from my dorm to parking the car and getting out of the car, about 45 minutes away from Montreal. And you know, there's Montreal, and then there's Old Montreal, and Old Montreal has a lot of European style architecture and things like that, cobblestone streets. Like, you really, if you go to Old Montreal and you didn't know where you were, you'd think you were in Europe. So I would either, you know, when the stress gets you and everything else, you just need a little bit of time off, I would either drive up to Old Montreal, get a cup of coffee and just walk around for a few hours and then drive back. Or I would, you know, equal distance, probably 30, 45 minutes, drive into the Adirondacks and go for a hike for a couple hours, you know, do you know, Mount Marcy or, you know, Algonquin or, you know, any of those, and come back and really feel refreshed and ready for, you know, the next day and everything that got thrown at me, you know, from an RA perspective, from a school perspective in general, and everything else. So it was a great place to be. And I do, I miss being up there. I miss Montreal, and I certainly miss the Adirondacks, the beautiful, beautiful mountains and all the rivers and everything there is to do outdoors out there. And North Carolina is great. And you know, the beaches are beautiful, and we do have mountains on the western side of the state, but they're not the Adirondacks. You know, there's the Smoky Mountains, and you do see the you know, a lot of the haze and the, you know, the beautiful blue kind of aura that's around it. But yeah, not like the Adirondacks. I mean, and even the Adirondacks is not like the mountains you have out in Washington State. Those are gorgeous as well. I would love to hike those, but yeah, I just have a special place for that part of the state.
I think that's a good spot to stop.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. So what happens from these interviews?
For you, I'm going to send you, when I finish it, the edited transcript. Because okay. Zoom like does a transcript, but it's pretty bad.
Okay.
And then I'll send you the audio video, or like I said, I'll send you the audio recording, and if you want the video recording, and then a release form.
Okay.
Like for the exhibit, because it's going to be like an online exhibit.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm thinking of just doing the audio video recordings, okay. You know, and just kind of like try to bring up, because most of the people I've interviewed so far are from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping just to kind of focus on the 90s, but
cool.
You know, just people's experiences and, you know, memories.
Awesome. And I'll have to find a way to get this poster scanned in for you, and I'll send that to you as well. That'll be kind of cool looking to keep with it.
Yeah, especially since it's autographed,
right? And even did, it's funny because they, like on a lot of their albums, they have the target, so it's actually drew the target and everything. Cool. Well, it was a pleasure meeting you, and thanks for taking the time and for doing something like this and kind of bringing this to life for folks that haven't thought about it in years.
I love listening to people's memories. So,
very cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Have a good rest of your Monday.
You too. Take care.